Welcome, Wendy, to ChristianCafe.com. And my first question for you is, please tell us about some of the work that you do with CBN. I know that you do anchoring work with CBN Newswatch.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me on the program. I'm a news anchor here with Christian Broadcasting Network. I've been here 12 years. I'm a senior reporter, which basically means I've just been reporting for a while, I guess. And it's been an incredible time. I've been in broadcast journalism for many, many years, and CBN is a great place to work, and the ultimate goal is, of course, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's great to combine my love for television and my love for evangelism.
Right, and I understand you've been doing reporting long before you were with CBN. I was doing a bit of reading on your bio, and it says you've been doing this since graduating from West Virginia University way back in 1986.
Yes, you did your homework. I've been in television more than two decades. The first 10 years was in secular news and different various networks across the country. So that was a great foundation, a great learning experience before coming here, which is a bigger stage, international. We're in 200 countries, just the 700 Club. And then I co-anchor a daily show called Newswatch, CBN Newswatch, and a weekly show called Christian World News, which is on the Trinity Broadcasting Network on Saturdays.
Right. And I was just looking at a story that you just did quite recently about YWAM. It's funny because I actually did a DTF with YWAM back in the early 90s in Hawaii and did my outreach in Costa Rica. So it's a great organization.
Oh, suffering for Jesus in Hawaii and Costa Rica. I'm so sorry for you, Sam.
Which was funny. Half the school went to Bulgaria, and this was in wintertime, and half of them went to Costa Rica. So I felt like I was called to Costa Rica.
Yes, I think I would feel that calling very strongly myself.
And it's funny. On that note, I've done mission work with Campus Crusade for Christ, also in Central America, in Honduras and Mexico. So it was a great time back then, and okay, well, to my second question here, now I understand that you're presently single, but you're not alone, and I put no pun intended. 45% of all adults, according to the latest surveys, are in America are single as well, and if you work that out on a numbers basis, that's over 100 million adults in America are presently single, and when we first looked up these statistics, we were shocked at just how high that is. Because if the total population of America is about 300 million, and then you take out the children and the elderly and those that are married, you're still looking at one out of three of all Americans are single. What do you think the impact of this high rate of singleness is having on the church and Christian ministries today?
Well, I was just thinking I'm looking at this from the glass half full instead of half empty. That means that my chances of meeting somebody are better if there's that many singles out there, right?
That's true. That's definitely true. That is one way to look at it, yes.
But how is it affecting the church? You know, I can only really talk about my little world, which, you know, I just basically feel one way it's affecting the church is there just aren't single men in the church. It seems like all the men, I mean, the single women are there, because I've certainly got a lot of single girlfriends, and I've never been married, and I'm in my 40s, and so there's a lot of families, of course, at the church, and it seems like the men come after they get married. So, and then the few guys that are there usually aren't kind of the manly men that I know that I'm looking for. I'm not, you know, sometimes I'm not attracted to effeminate type of men. You know, I think there's a lack of real men. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sam? Manly men in the church. And, you know, I think that is one of the biggest problems that single women face is because, like you and I were talking earlier, I mean, we, you know, as a Christian, I don't go to bars. I don't go to places to meet men. I mean, I go to work and I go to church. And so the biggest problem, I think, for single women is that the men are not in the church.
Do you also think that this is something that we've heard from our female members, and I don't want to bash men, I mean, in this sense, but do you think part of this is that men are not asking women out on dates the way perhaps they used to? And that women...
absolutely. And I was talking to a young guy at the gym the other day who said that he never asks women out. And he was a nice young man, and I thought, you know, why don't you do that? He's like, well, I got hurt once. I said, you know, be a man. You know, that's part of life, is taking a risk and taking a chance. And, you know, because I know I'm not going to ask a guy out. I don't think that's my place. And I don't think, you know, I've always been told that men like a challenge and that they like to be the ones to do the pursuing and they're the hunters, you know, and all that. But I was really shocked that this young guy who was very handsome thought was just going to let all the women ask him out because it was easier. And I thought, you know, that's, something's wrong with that picture. I don't think that's the way God intended it. And I certainly think that men need to be more bold and courageous, and they need to take a chance. And, you know, if she says no, then move on. I mean, but don't take it personally.
So, I mean, this is, like I said, this is something that we do hear all too frequently from our female members on ChristianCafe.com. And they will say, I've logged a profile on your website. I'm sitting there. I'm waiting. What should I do? And, you know, the guys aren't writing like you're saying. I mean, that is unfortunately something we're hearing. But we also have lots of other men on the website who do ask a lot. And when we're asking them, I don't think it's not necessarily that they're overwhelmed because there's so many women at church that they don't know who to ask because there's so much choice per se. It seems like there's a variety of reasons, because I could understand that would explain some of the issues. But when I think of that number of 100 million, I mean, that number is almost, it's so big you almost can't conceive of how big that is. I mean, if it was a dollar and you stacked $100 million up, it'd probably go, I have no idea how high, it would go several miles high. I mean, this is the reality today. And on our theory, or at least my theory, is that As connected as we're becoming as a society, like technologically, where everybody's got a cell phone or a PDA or an iPhone or the laptop, they're wired everywhere online and they're becoming connected that way, as a society, we're finding it harder and harder to relate. I remember seeing a cartoon once, an editorial, and it has a picture of a group of people in an internet, like a web cafe, and they're all in a circle with computers. And they're all on the internet. There's about 20 of them in this circle. And over the top of one of the heads, it shows a little bubble, and the person's saying, I'm so lonely. Which to me it's tragic, but yet I could relate, because I know for myself, when I moved to a big city, single, unemployed, in my early 30s, as outgoing as I am, I found it very hard to connect with local singles at different churches, simply because I could see them in the church, but for me to actually go out of my way to ask them, I didn't even know them. And I know from my women friends, you don't want a strange guy coming up and asking for your phone number because you don't know who he is, especially if he's new. So what do you do? Like, how do you connect? So one of the reasons that we came into being was out of my own personal frustration. As outgoing as I was, I went to literally, I'd say, between a dozen and two dozen churches that were all good churches from a theological point of view, mostly non-denominational. And I have to admit, I was going there because I wanted to worship and to fellowship, but I also wanted to meet somebody, a nice young lady, and I found it very, very difficult. And so that leads me into my next question, which is around the internet, where it is a highly connecting technology that's now impacting relationships, and statistics are saying now that 1 in 5 couples today met online. Now, that's not necessarily they got married. It means that they connected somehow, and they're now involved in a relationship. And this is a secular statistic. I've heard that it's as high as 1 in 6 or maybe 1 in 7 of all marriages in the U.S. today were because of people connecting online. And so clearly it's people are out there. They want to connect, just like eating and breathing and sleeping and whatnot. Connecting, it's a biological imperative.
My sister met her husband on Match.com, and they have two children now, and it's a wonderful marriage. And there's so many people, so many women here at CBN that have met their husbands on either eHarmony or Match.com and perhaps ChristianCafe.com too, I'm not sure.
Sure.
It's very, it's extremely popular in the Christian world to go online to meet somebody. I don't think there's any stigma attached to it anymore. And people are definitely doing it and having success with it. I've tried it a couple of times. I haven't enjoyed it very much. I don't know if it's just been – well, I tried – I've only tried it for like a few days at a time, and I get – I haven't had too much success. But then I haven't put into practice the law of perseverance either.
Sure.
But I just get – I'm really busy, and I just – I go through these – seasons of, well, you know, if God wants me to be married, then he's going to do it. And then I go through a season where you have to put your faith into action. Faith without works is dead. And so I go back and forth, but I do know that God has someone for me. I just think I've been in a season where he's been wanting my full attention
sure.
for a while. So I think it's been a great vehicle and a great tool for so many couples.
I mean, from our side, sort of inside looking out, we see this great need. I mean, in the years that we've been online, we've had over 2 million people, single Christians, come on, mostly from the U.S. and Canada. And I think that when you ask them, it's similar reasons to my own personal issue in the late 90s. And I was surprised, you know, fast forwarding 12 years or so, that it's still an issue. You know, I realize we're getting connected closer and closer, and yet we seem to be further apart. I just found that shocking. I thought that it would change. And one of the things that we're trying to do with doing interviews with various ministries and churches is a form of education, because a common feedback that we receive, I'd even call it a complaint, is my local church, or when I watch my favorite Christian TV show, there's nothing on it for me as a single, you know, talking about my unique challenges being single. Some of us are called into singleness for life, although I believe that very, very few of us.
Very few.
And I think the church sometimes has got that a bit backwards, where if you're single and you're still single after a while, then maybe he's called you to singleness. And I think the Apostle Paul had the gift, and very, very few people that I've ever met have had it. So if that's the case, God meant us for fellowship in the sense of uniting, you know, a man and a woman, and yet we're not doing it. Most churches and ministries have ministries for, say, alcoholics or, you know, kids that are abused. They've got orphans that they do locally or abroad. They've got alpha programs for new Christians. They've got outreach to try to reach and to spread the gospel.
Or they have singles outreaches for perhaps like the 20 crowd,
sure.
20s and early 30s. And I was in some of those, you know, when I was younger, but, you know, over 40, it's like, you know, they don't really address the over 40 single crowd too much. But again, the biggest problem, but even if they did, Sam, again, the biggest problem is that the men just aren't there. So, I mean, you show up to the singles group and there's like 10 women and two guys, you know?
Sure.
And so it's, so thank God there are some ways to connect online, because I know the men are out there. Like you said, I mean, the statistics show that there's so many single people out there. But, you know, just finding them, that's, you know, only God knows where they are.
Well, we think it needs to be two things. One, it needs to be, there should be, I mean, it'd be our goal to help ministries, you know, target more singles, but also to address the concerns that you're raising and some of our other women members have raised, which is, I think it's education. I think a lot of people, in this case men, perhaps are just not as, oftentimes it's genuine ignorance, and I have to use that word carefully because it can come across the wrong way. But my I mean, that sometimes people just don't know. I mean, I know when I was single, there were guy friends of mine, you know, like this guy you were talking about earlier at the gym who, you know, he'd been rejected and so didn't want to ask the woman anymore out of fear. And rejection is always painful.
Right.
But you have to get up and try again and try again and try again.
Yeah.
And I think if there was series on it, I mean, I know that any singles event I went to, if they said there's lots of women and we need guys because we've got all these great single women, you'd have no problem getting the guys. A lot of times it was just simply marketing, getting the word out that it was there. And if major ministries take the lead and do it, you know, for example, we're doing a series starting with a pilot show to see how it goes with a TV station called Cornerstone just outside of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. And we went and said to them, you know, half your audience, based on statistics, you know, assuming Pennsylvania is the same mostly as the rest of the U.S., half your viewing audience is single, and we'll bet you that they would love to have something just address their needs. So they said, okay, let's do a show and see how it goes, because we think it's something that our viewers, we agree with you, we think it's something our viewers would want. And
ooh,
so,
I'd love to host that show. Can I be a co-host?
Well, I'll send you information about it. We're just working on the... they're doing like a one-off show for now to see how it goes, and if everybody really likes it and it's successful, I don't think they'd be against doing it as a series. I mean,
and then I, you know, would it be wrong to be the host and also kind of put my phone number up underneath my name and, you know, kind of have that flashing subliminally during the show?
You know, one of the things,
I'm desperate. I'm definitely not desperate.
I know. I understand. You know what is funny is I think that. And I can't speak for all men, but I think that some men are intimidated by successful women.
Well, they need to get over it, okay, because we're waiting for them. We're waiting for them to, you know, man up and come and find us. And there's a lot of gorgeous Christian single women, and they need to get in the church, and they need to get there quickly, you know, because these women have been waiting for them for a long time.
Well, you know what's interesting from a business point of view, and this leads into my next question. The online dating businesses in the U.S. alone is probably worth about $1 billion in terms of the amount of money people are putting down with their credit card by buying out subscriptions. $1 billion. I mean, you look at some of the major sites, like you've mentioned. I mean, Match is probably doing $300-400 million globally. So it's a huge market, and there's a lot of niche markets, and we're a niche because Christians are a subset of the population. I mean, it would be wonderful if all of us were Christians, but unfortunately we're not. And so the secular world is sitting up and taking notice, and they're saying, well, there's clearly a market for these, for generic singles, and these religious singles, they want to connect as well. So why don't we go out there and do that? And unfortunately, you then have some rather unsavory organizations targeting Christians but not telling them who they're supporting. So you can have, you know, as a reference, even Penthouse has a Christian quote-unquote dating site.
Oh, dear.
And
oh, that's horrible.
I'm not going to mention the name. People can look it up, but it's only about 3 or 4 clicks away from Penthouse. Now, when you buy a membership on that website, knowingly or unknowingly, because I would argue most don't know, you're actually funding pornography. And now I don't know that that's their intent. I think it's just, in some cases, it's just business. But given that you've got this big
need
out there.
Plenty of choices out there that you don't need to go that route. But you're saying that it's under a different name, so you don't know.
No, you don't know. No, they're very clever. I mean, it takes a couple of links. You just, you know, like trademarked, et cetera, and then you put that into Google, and then another click, and you're on a site you really don't want to see. You've also got other secular companies targeting Christian singles, and some of the other markets they're into are promoting homosexuality. And we were shocked when we're targeting Christian singles to find out that some of our competition, I mean, they've got $500 million budgets because they're funded mostly by pornography, and they're hiding it. What is your reaction to secular online dating companies targeting Christian relationships?
Well, I guess if they do it in a respectful way, it would be all right. I mean, I don't know. I know eHarmony does seem to target the Christian audience. I don't know if they advertise themselves as a Christian dating website, but I'm not sure I can answer that well, but I'm not an expert in that area, but I think if they do it right, you know, if they do it, if it's misleading in any way, but I know like on Match.com, I made it very clear that I had a strong faith. I said, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then I'm not your girl. You know, I said that in a couple of different places in my bio. I made it very clear that was very important to me. And still, I got a lot of winks from guys that said that they were spiritual but not religious, or had no religion. So clearly, you know, it didn't really matter to some of the guys that were on there. So if you go to a place like ChristianCafe.com, your chances of getting a believer to contact you are a lot greater than if you go to a secular Christian site, don't you think?
Oh, no, definitely. And let me be clear. I mean, I don't have an issue with secular companies targeting Christians. I mean, you know, if you're selling cars, does it matter whether the buyer is a believer or not, or whether you're a believer? I mean, as long as you're conducting yourself with integrity, and we ourselves actually have a smaller Jewish website, so it's not like we have issues with targeting. I think the concern that we have is if you're not being truthful about what your background is, and if your background is a pornographer, then and you're not telling your members, we think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. I understand for business reasons why you don't want to tell your members, because they wouldn't go to your website. But to me, I just think that it's important that Christians make informed decisions about where they're spending their money, just like they would do in the real world. You wouldn't subscribe to a Christian magazine that was put out by Penthouse Publishing, for example. I mean, if such a thing existed. And so we just think that it's sad to us as believers, because we're the only major Christian dating site out there today that is actually Christian owned and operated. And so we think that we have a unique perspective. I mean, it's obviously in our interest to say this, but we think we have a unique perspective on running a dating service, because we are Christian, and so we understand the market. Most of us were single. I mean, I was single. That's why I started this business. And now I'm not, because I met a wonderful young lady through a lady that I had met, like I was explaining before, on a Christian dating service. And so we just think it's important that Christians be aware of who's running the websites that they're on. And
absolutely.
And ideally, we just believe, I mean, that's my next question, which is, what would your perspectives be, and I believe you've answered this already, on Christians using Christian-owned and operated dating websites as opposed to non?
Well, I think it would be beneficial to Christians to go to a place like ChristianCafe.com, because Match.com and some of the other places, I mean, my sister met a great guy on Match.com, and a lot of people here at CBN have too, but I think your chances of really meeting somebody who's serious about their faith are going to be a lot greater. And if that's on a Christian-owned and operated dating site, and if that's your focus and if that's important to you, like it is to me, I know it was just, you know, I only did Match.com for like a few days, but it was just clear that, I mean, I would say 95% of the men that contacted me weren't really serious about their faith. Mm-hmm. So even though I had made that very clear that was something that was important to me, so I think it just cuts down on a lot of the work, you know.
And to be clear, I mean, we don't have an issue with generic secular sites like Match targeting everybody, including Christians or Jews or atheists or whomever. It's just from a business point of view, we just felt it made better sense for us to, why not drill down? And if people are serious about their faith, when they come on to ChristianCafe.com, half the battle is won, because the vast majority, I mean, we have some people who are still searching, but the reality is the vast majority of our membership are sort of bona fide Christians or biblical Christians, you know, meaning born again / fundamentalist / non-denominational, whichever label you want to apply to it.
Yeah.
You know, literal interpretation of the Bible in most cases, you know, that Jesus came to earth to die for our sins. And
how many people are signed up on your site?
Well, we've had about 2 million go through the system, and at any given time, we have about 100,000 people using it, and that's usually within about a 3-month period. sometimes people will throw these stats out. You know, you'll hear big sites say, oh, well, we've got, you know, 20 million members. But if you push them and say, well, how many of those members have been on in the last 90 days? Well, 19.5 million haven't been here in 3 years. So, I mean, you know, figures are meaningless. Ultimately, what's important is if God has someone for you on a Christian dating website such as ours, and we don't know that he does necessarily, the reality is you only need one good man, or if you're a man, you only need one good woman. So whether you have 500 potentials or 5,000, to me, doesn't really matter because I think in our case, we only will show a maximum of 300 results anyway. Part of it's a programming thing, and part of it is if, you know, these 300 aren't good enough, then, you know, you're not as serious as you need to be. I mean, you know, everybody's unique, so I can't say that, you know, I mean, we have...
You just have to hear from the Lord, too, because I know for a long time, I don't think he wanted me to do the dating sites, and so I didn't. I think, you know, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, how is he leading you? I mean, the Bible's clear. Jesus said it's not good for man to be alone. He definitely wants us in fellowship and in relationships. You know, God is definitely pro-marriage. We know all that, but, you know, you still need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, does he want me to be looking right now? Because looking for a mate, it can be a full-time job, you know, and it can be a distraction too. So, you know, you may be in a season. I mean, singleness is not a curse. It's actually a gift.
Sure.
Marriage is also a gift.
Right.
So, you know, we have to learn to enjoy the seasons that we're in. I don't think God is trying to keep me as a single person. I don't think God is punishing me. I don't think he's trying to keep me from pleasure or keep me from relationship. I know that he loves me so much that he may be keeping me from a lot of pain right now. You know, the wrong marriage could be, you know, being in a bad marriage. Is there anything worse than that? I mean, I can't imagine being feeling trapped and feeling like you can't get out of something. I mean, I think, you know, for me, I would much rather wait on the Lord, but be sensitive, you know, to his timing. You know, is he wanting me to get on a Christian website, or does he want to do it a different way? I think when you're, you know, so many of us as believers, you know, we're called to a specific area, like, you know, I'm in media, but, you know, some people are called to different countries, or they're missionaries, or they're, you know, they're in ministry, and it might be a very specific type of ministry that would require a very specific type of mate, you know, and it's almost like, oh, God, I don't want to mess this up, you know, because as Christians, I mean, we know we have a destiny. We have a purpose. God says, I've prepared the places, and I know the plans that I have for you, and they're very specific things that God has for us to do, and it requires a very specific type of person, you know. And if we marry this guy over here, he might look good on paper, but he doesn't really fit in with what God has called us to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So we really need to be so sensitive to the Lord and let him still have, I mean, I think God definitely uses Christian websites, and I've seen many godly marriages come out of it, but at the same time, always be handing it over to the Lord. Lord, if this is not what you have for me right now, then, you know, close the door. Or on the other hand, Lord, lead me to the person. If the person you have for me is on ChristianCafe.com or Match.com, you know, lead me to that person. So I'm still trying, you know, I'm still in process. I don't, you know, I still just want God to do it, just kind of snap his fingers and have him go up on my doorstep. I really don't want to work at it.
It's kind of like going to the gym, you know. I want the buff body and I want to be healthy and stuff, but I don't want to actually go to the gym. Can I just say the word?
Exactly.
You know, it's funny because we'll get that. This young lady that I was dating a number of years ago before I started this business, she had a roommate and she was a teacher. And so during the day she'd be teaching and she would come home every night and she would just watch television until it was bedtime. And then she was upset that she was single. I remember saying to my girlfriend at the time, but like, short of the pizza delivery guy being her soulmate, like how are you expecting to meet? And then when we go out to like a church service, the three of us would go and she'd sort of hang with us. And it's hard for other guys to come over and just chat. And then she'd have her girlfriends and that was it. I know,
Sam, listen, but you know, on the other hand, like my mother is always saying, you need to get out there. You need to get out there. I'm on international television. How much more out there can I get, you know? Plus, I mean, I'm always traveling. I'm either on an airplane or, you know, I'm at the gym several times a week. I'm at church and church functions. And I'm thinking, you know, how else can I get out there, you know? But I have been guilty, too, of, you know, being a couch potato and staying home and feeling sorry for myself. But I don't do that very often. But we all go through. We all have good days. I think as single people, you know, we have good days where we're like, yeah, it's great being single. And, yes, I'm just believing God for a mate and it's going to happen. And then we have those days like, you know, Lord, where is he? Why have you forgotten me? You know, I'm not getting any younger. And it's sort of like a roller coaster.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, it's like, Lord, I still trust you. I still know that you have the best for me. I still know, and I'm still believing that you have, that your word is true, that you say if I delight myself in you, you're going to give me the desires of my heart. My prayer lately has been, God, let my desires line up with your desires. Let my heart beat for the same thing that your heart is beating for, you know, so that when it happens, you know, I know that when Hannah was praying so much for a child, God waited, I think, until Hannah said, Lord, you know, when I do have this son, I'm going to give him to you. Because, see, Hannah wanted a baby, but God wanted a prophet. And he had to wait until Hannah's desperate prayers lined up with his heart. And so I think sometimes God is waiting for our heart to line up with his, you know, so that we're not praying just for what we want, but for what he wants for us.
That's funny because Hannah's son is Samuel, which is where my name's from.
Oh, that's right.
And on the flip side, my mother got pregnant on her honeymoon.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, 9 months, 2 days in Paris. In fact, my youngest daughter's name is Paris for that very reason, in honor. But
That's a great story. So, she's going to be able to tell that story forever.
There you
I
go.
Love
that's
that
like,
name. Paris.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful name.
Sometimes when people ask whether it's men or women, they say, you're in the business. What do you recommend? And as unromantic as it sounds, in many ways, dating is like looking for a job.
Absolutely. It's a full-time job. And that's why I've
well,
not...
No, not necessarily. What I mean by that is if you sit there and you've got this fantastic resume and you've got this great work experience, but it's on your computer or you print it out and it doesn't get sent anywhere, then how's anybody going to know what a great catch you are to work for their company? They're not going to know. And so I say to people, particularly successful people, look at what you've done and the steps you've taken in your career to get to where you are today. Because, I mean, your particular career, Wendy, I mean, it's impressive. I mean, this is the first time I've ever interviewed an anchor. So when I was telling people, I said, oh, I've got an interview, and they're like, okay, wait a minute. She's interviewing you, right? And I said, no, I'm interviewing her. And they go, but you don't know anything about interviewing. I said, well, there's always a first time, right? I said, I've done a couple of these, but I said, usually you're right. Usually I'm the one being interviewed. And I thought, but looking at someone like yourself, you've got all these achievements, and you've had to go get them yourself, because I don't think that Pat Robertson knocked on your door. Maybe he did, because he looked at your resume.
He didn't. Actually, the Lord told me to send a tape to CBN in 1998.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of thought it was a fluke, but I thought, well, I think that was the Lord. So I sent it, and sure enough, they needed somebody, and 4 months later, I got hired. 3 months later.
Famous painting, and I'm not sure, one of the greats did it, you know, several hundred years ago, where it's got Jesus on one side of the door, but there's no doorknob on Jesus' side. There's only a doorknob on the recipient side. And so he stands at the doors and knocks. Mm. You have to open it. So just like you need to make a decision to follow Jesus and accept, you know, his sacrifice for your sins and confess to your sinner and accept his free gift of salvation and then follow him, by the same token, he doesn't get you jobs. He helps you, but it's like a ship in port. You can't steer the ship when it's in port, or it's very hard. But when it's out to sea, it only takes a tiny little rudder to turn it left or right. And so, to me, the same analogy applies in dating, because I try to meet lots of different women, and I did through different dating services in the late 90s prior to starting my own. And I met lots of wonderful women, and they weren't the woman, any of them, that God had for me, but that didn't mean that I didn't learn lots of things. It wasn't like there was nasty breakups or anything like that, but I learned a lot along the way, and then the Lord had somebody right under my nose. In fact, she sat right beside me at the desk beside me, because there was only three of us in the whole company at the time, and little did I know that this Brazilian woman, this gorgeous woman, and I honestly have to admit, I wasn't even focused. I was so focused on my business, I wasn't looking at this gorgeous specimen beside me until someone said, "What's your problem? Like, she's beautiful." And then I took a look and I went, "Oh, you know what? You're right. Wow, she is really attractive." And then it kind of went from there.
But you were looking for a relationship at the time, though, weren't you?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I was married to my job. I mean, I was starting this business. You know, anybody who started a new business knows, or like any kind of tough challenge.
Oh, yeah.
It's your whole devotion. And honestly, I wasn't actually looking. I said to the Lord, "You know what, Lord, every time I try it, it doesn't seem to work. So I need you to kind of take over," and I'm surrendering that. And it's funny, as soon as I surrendered that to him, guess what? It's like there's this woman beside me that I didn't notice, who turned out to be my mate. And
God sent her right there, right next to you. That's amazing.
I didn't even notice her. That's the funny thing. But
because God didn't open your eyes, He didn't open your eyes right away.
Yeah, but He didn't. Nope. But I still was out there, so to speak. I was single. I mean, anybody who knew me knew I was single, and it wasn't like I wasn't asking women out to go to a movie or to, you know, a social function or something. I was. So I was taking the initiative. It wasn't like I was staying at home all day doing nothing. So to me, it's like the job analogy. And sometimes people will say, "Well, you know, I'm getting rejected. You know, whether this is men or women, I'm getting rejected. I'm writing to someone. They seem nice. I get rejected, and it's so painful. What do you recommend?" And my advice is, let's assume that the 101st person you met, which is a lot of people, admittedly, was your soulmate. Would it be worth being rejected by the first 100? I think it would be. In hindsight, it's pretty painful going through it. If you look at, I remember years ago in an English course at university, it was the Bible as English Literature was the name of it. It was at a secular university, so it wasn't a Christian necessarily. But one of the things they asked me to do was, "We want you to write a paper on the difference between Paul, his suffering in prison, and Job in the Old Testament." And the difference that I found was, Paul was joyful in his suffering. In fact, most of his greatest letters in the New Testament were written from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at Job, by contrast, he was troubled. And to me, now he still stayed faithful to God, because his wife said, "Curse God and die." And he said no, et cetera, and he would serve God and whatnot. But the difference was that one of them knew why he was suffering, and the other one didn't.
Yeah.
When somebody like Nietzsche or one of these great philosophers, or atheist philosophers in this case, said something to the effect of, "If a man knows why, he can get through almost anyhow." And so, not to say that dating is painful, it can be, it's also wonderful in a lot of ways, but if the purpose is you're following God and you know that He has the best for you, and no matter what you have to go through in order to be the best that God wants you to be, if God has someone special for you, whether online or not, it doesn't matter, or He doesn't at all, it's His will for you. And so He'll make sure that you're fulfilled, whether single or married. In my view, out of those 100 million people in America today that are single, like adult and single, I'm guessing 99.9% of those are meant to be married in a perfect world. They're not called to a life of singleness. They're single just because of the way things are, rightly or wrongly. And so our mission as a Christian dating service, and by Christian I mean not just the market we serve, but the fact that we ourselves are born again, is to go out there and spread this message and say there is hope. We're not saying he's your perfect man or woman is on our website, but give it a try. And if it doesn't work, at least you tried. So anyway,
that's
my perspective. And you know, and anybody who knows me, I mean, I didn't get married till I was 37, so I can relate to people who've delayed it, you know, in their 30s or 40s or even 50s. And anybody who knows me really well will say, if it worked for him, it could work for anybody. Because I'm typical type A, brash, aggressive, can be hard to get along with anyway. So let me conclude here, because I want to be respectful of your time here. And this is our final question was, how can large online communities of Christian singles like ChristianCafe.com support pro-family organizations like CBN? And just a bit of where I'm going with that question is, mm-hmm. given that you've got this huge mass of singles out there, you know, it's not necessarily what they want, but there are positives and negatives, like you've alluded to. One of the negatives that we see is, just from a purely funding perspective, if Christians, like I said, to focus on the family, if we as a church, meaning all of us, are not focusing on the family and Christians aren't connecting, they're not producing babies who are going to be raised in the Christian faith and hopefully make their own decision for Jesus when they're of age, which means that you end up with, you know, 15 or 20 years later, you don't have the new generation because the parents never met, which mm-hmm. means you end up having a crisis. From what I'm thinking as a business guy, you've got this crisis because where are all the new Christians being created? I realize it's a personal question, but where
are all problem because the Muslims are not having that problem.
No, they're not.
They definitely know how to populate. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply."
That's right.
And I keep telling my mother, I'm trying, but
you need a man. You
kind of need a man. That is a big issue, isn't it? Because, you know, we need believers to populate. We need to, as believers, we need to populate. I know it sounds funny saying
that.
It does.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? No, we need to. Our point is that, because we know right now, charities in America and Canada, because we're very in similar a lot of ways to the U.S., I've read statistics that say that 50% of all charities are in danger of going under because of the current recession and the sort of economic malaise that particularly America is going through. Because if people are working less or they don't have a job or they're worried about their job, they're not going to contribute as much to charity. Even though we're called to tithe,
well,
not everybody does.
Yeah, you know, I just believe, though, that God works outside the natural economy. I mean, his kingdom, you know, we... here at CBN, I mean, we're still being blessed, even though the economy has not been that great. You know, God is still meeting all our needs here. You know, we haven't had any layoffs. And I believe that, you know, if you are with a Christian ministry like that, you just need to start declaring and decreeing that you're not in the world's economy. You're in God's economy, and his word is more powerful and it's greater than what's happening out there. You know, if he says, "I will provide for all your needs," then you can take that to the bank. So I think we need to not be fearful. Even if the world is saying, you know, the sky is falling, no, we need to say, no, God says, "I'm Jehovah Jireh. I will take care of all your needs." And just stand on his word, especially during times of uncertainty and economic uncertainty, which we're in right now.
Sure. And I mean, I agree with you. I think... it's not like, you know, that we can do things on our own. We certainly have to do things through God, and God directs us to do things in lots of different ways. I also think, though, that we should be planning for things. And so when I look 20 years out, I look at this crisis that I see in singleness, and I just see from a Christian perspective, if we're not producing more Christians, it's not so much the Muslims will necessarily take us over, but like America sort of stands as a beacon, in many ways, as a Christian nation. Even though I realize that a lot of people aren't and there's a lot of evil and whatnot, when you, relative to the rest of the world, like in Canada, maybe 6-7% are evangelical. It's a very small percentage. In the U.S., anywhere from 30 to, 50, at least people would pay lip service to it. And the rest of the people would say, well, yes, I adhere to Christian principles. So it doesn't mean America is, everything is perfect. But I think that sort of Christian background and everything that makes America what it is, if they're not producing more Christians, I'm just looking into the next generation and seeing that just logically, yes, God can save, just like he did with Gideon in the Old Testament. You know, he wanted them to strip down from, 22,000 down to 300 men to say that God did it, not the men. At the same time, it doesn't mean that we can't take steps ourselves, you know, following the Lord's will and say, we need to... I mean, in our particular case, we're a business, but we're also a form of ministry, and we want to help those people that are single connect. Well, thank you, Wendy, very much for your time.
God bless you, Sam. Thanks so much for what you do, and let's think about a possible story for 2011.
Sure. Okay. Thanks, Wendy.